All right. Now, let's get to Exodus 20. And we come to the third word today. And from a couple weeks ago, let me just remind you that we will say the Ten Commandments and we say the Ten Words. And we say that because when it says Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 6, the word for commandment there is the word for word. And so literally, the Ten Commandments are the Ten Words from God. So that's why you hear us say both the Ten Words and the Ten Commandments. So this morning, we come to the third word. And like the first two, it's pretty straightforward. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Or simply put, this means we should not misuse God's name. Now, as with the second word, there is a penalty that goes with violating this command. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, I believe it's important that with this word, as well as all of the other words, that we take the same approach to them as David expressed in Psalm 119 and verse 96. And in Psalm 119, David says this about the Lord's commandment. He said, "Your commandment is exceedingly broad," meaning that the implications and applications of your commandments are broad in their scope. The commandments are not to be seen in the most narrow way possible, but we should see the commandments broadly. That's what David is saying. We could look at Jesus as an example of this. This is how Jesus took the commandments. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery." A very rather narrow understanding, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you that if a man desires a woman in his heart, he has committed adultery. That takes a very narrow view of that commandment and makes it exceedingly broad. Did the same thing with murder. You've heard it said, you shall not murder. And how many people would look at the Ten Commandments and say, well, at least I haven't violated that one. I haven't murdered anyone. And yet Jesus said, but I say to you, if you hate your brother, if you say you fool, you have committed murder in your heart. Jesus took this commandment, which we want to take very narrowly, and he broadened it exceedingly. So what we want to do as we look at these commandments is what David did in Psalm 119, how David saw the commandments, and we want to do what Jesus did in his teaching in seeing the commandments, not in the narrowest sense possible, but in the broadest sense possible. So this morning, our goal is to work and think about the breadth of the third word. And as we do that, I want us to do it in three main headings. And the first one would be this: be careful of the way you use God's name. That's the first heading as we're thinking about implications and applications. Be careful of the way you use God's name. The second heading is be careful of what you say in God's name. And then the third is be careful of what you do in God's name. Because we can misuse God's name in all of the above. Now, let me give you this encouragement as well. This message, really like every message, take from the beginning to the end. All the way to the end. Because what we say at the end is what we so much need as we consider a broad application of these commandments. So take it all together. So let's look at the commandment as you have it there in your Bible. This is Exodus chapter 20, and I'm going to read verse 7. Would you stand as we read God's word this morning? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. This is God's word. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Let's pray. Oh, Father, as we come to your text today, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand it. We want to have understanding, and while there's so many things, so many good things that could be said, we are limited by time this morning. And so, Father, in this limited time we have, may we still receive an accurate understanding of this third word. But Lord, most importantly, we don't want to just know more. We want to know you. We want to know and love our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a greater and deeper way. And so, God, may you use the third word to take us to Christ, to glory in Christ, to rest in Christ, to trust in Christ. Because apart from Christ, Lord, there's not a one of us who would want to stand before you and give an account for our keeping of the third word. He is our hope. He is our salvation. And we pray in his name, amen. All right, you may be seated. This command begins with the prohibition. Let's take a look at that. The first words, as well as this third word, begin with a prohibition. And here the prohibition is to not take the Lord's name in vain. And I want you just to look at the word vain for a moment. It's used quite often in the Hebrew text. And it's interesting, talk about broad implications and applications. This word is found translated in our Old Testaments with words like empty and worthless, and then all the way to wicked and evil. So just get the breadth of this word, all the way from worthless to wicked. You might say it's telling us not to use Yahweh's name in a way that is not good. Or maybe we could say it this way, don't misuse the Lord's name. Now, I want to go back to those three categories and talk about the three different ways in which we could misuse the Lord's name. All right, let's begin with this one. God's name is misused when it's used flippantly and carelessly. Let's just get real broad to begin with, shall we not? When God's name is used flippantly or carelessly, how often do you hear someone say, "Oh my"? Probably quite often. I wonder, you know, when you think about texting and social media, probably the most often used abbreviation in texting is, say it with me, OMG. OMG. Maybe LOL, I don't know. This isn't scientific. All I know is you see it a lot, don't you? I wonder, would it bother your conscience this morning? Really, we're in church, we're just being honest, we're all friends, right, brothers, sisters? Would it bother your conscience to text OMG? Maybe I should ask, should it bother your conscience to text OMG? I wonder about that. You know, the name of the Lord can be used in vain, flippantly or carelessly, but listen, it can also be used in vain when it's used as a curse word. When someone uses the name of Jesus or Jesus Christ as a curse word, it should bother us. Now, obviously, we need to be measured in our response to someone when they use the Lord's name in vain in that way. But I trust we haven't grown so dull that we wouldn't feel in our hearts the sting of our Savior's name being used as a curse word. Now, of course, you know, we're good Baptists. We like to baptize everything, right? And so we even baptize the third word. Oh my goodness. Oh, and we might not say Jesus Christ is a curse word, but gee whiz. Would you say that? Just wondering this morning. Now listen, I don't want to go full throttle Pharisee on you today and to try to squeeze you through the eye of a needle. But I do want to use the occasion of talking about the third word to cause us to think and to think seriously and deeply about how we use God's name. Because God's name can be used in vain when we are careless in the use of it. Maybe we could ask ourselves this: would the way that I use God's name communicate to my neighbor, or maybe to a coworker, or maybe someone in my class, would it communicate to them just how I think and feel about the Lord God? Just think about how you use God's name, and would the use of that name cause your neighbor to think of how precious, how holy, how important God is in your life? It's certainly something to consider. But I really think the misuse of the Lord's name in the way we use His name is kind of the lowest hanging fruit with all of this. So let's go to that second heading, which is we misuse the Lord's name at times in the way, in what we say in His name. Okay, another way that this can happen is when someone might use the Lord's name as a guarantee of their word and then not keep their word or not tell the truth. Now, one of the commentaries I like to refer to the most in this series as I've gone through it is a commentary by Douglas Stewart. And he simply says this: the most basic core idea behind this commandment is the prohibition of perjury. Now, perjury, we know, it's a legal term. Lying when you have sworn an oath to tell the truth. Now, the Ten Commandments, we said this several weeks ago, the Ten Commandments are the basis for the rest of God's law that He gave to Moses and to His people at Sinai. And you can really hear the third commandment in the law, like Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 12, where it says, "You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of the Lord. I am the Lord." So swearing in the Lord's name, or swearing to tell the truth in the Lord's name, was not forbidden. But if you swore to tell the truth in God's name and didn't, then you've broken the third commandment. This, of course, is reflected in our own legal system. I mean, maybe whether you've done this before, you've certainly seen this depicted where I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. This is my hand on the Bible, by the way, which I don't know if that's done in many jurisdictions anymore. It used to be done all the time. But this part of our law traces back to Old English law, back in the 13th century, in which they began in the court of law to have people put their hand on the Bible and to swear that they would tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, with the idea that if they perjured themselves, that they would stand guilty before God. So that's where that comes from. And you can see again that our law isn't just based on English, Old English law, but that goes even further back to the giving of the third word. So perjury. Blasphemy is a way that God's name can be taken in vain. And false, think about this, false prophecy and false teaching are ways that the Lord's name is taken in vain. When someone claims to be representing God and speaking by the authority of His name, yet presents Him inaccurately, they are taking His name in vain. So it's not only the way we use God's name, but it's also when we use His name wrongly as that. Now, let's go to the third one, because we've been talking about our speaking, how we use God's name and when we speak God's name. But now I want to talk about this third category, because we can misuse the Lord's name in what we do in His name. Not only in what we say in His name, but what we do in His name. Now, anytime that you do a study on the third word, you're going to read what others have written about, and the third word you will discover, many will point out that it has to do with more than just what you say. It's more than just what your words are. And the word take is highlighted. Let's look at that word take, because it literally means to carry something. Okay, so if I were to take my Bible from here to over there, I might carry it, right? And so that's the connection between taking and carrying. And so it is to take God's name is to carry God's name, literally. Now, what's that mean? Who carries the name of God? Do you carry the name of God? Well, the answer to that would be anyone who would confess to belong to God. Anyone who would say, I'm God's, carries the name of God. Think about being called a Christian. Well, that's Christ's name, isn't it? If you identify as a Christian, then you live your life carrying with you the name of Christ, the name of God. This is where many make the point that the most egregious way that God's name is taken in vain is to claim you are representing God, but to do the opposite of what God wants, or the opposite of God's will. Those who do evil in the name of God is the greatest way that the third commandment is violated. So, for example, the minister or priest who says that they're representing God but molest a child, the grossest violation of the third commandment. The tele-evangelist who says they're representing God but take people's money and live luxurious lifestyles, a violation, gross violation of the third commandment. The pastor who says he represents God and yet commits adultery is a gross violation of the third commandment. So we might say blatant hypocrisy is how the Lord's name can be taken in vain. Another commentary I have that I like referring to is one by Dennis Prager. He's a conservative Jew, and yet I like getting the perspective of a conservative Jew. And he writes this: when a person commits evil, it reflects badly on the person. When a person commits evil in God's name, it reflects badly on God as well. The result is that the only solution to evil, God-based morality, is thoroughly undermined. Think of the many who have nothing to do with Christ today because of the blatant hypocrisy of someone who is acting in the name of the Lord. This is how God's name can be used in vain. So we're looking at it broadly. When we come to this third word, we're not just trying to look at it as narrowly as possible. But as we look at it, we are looking at it as David did. Your commands are exceedingly broad, as Jesus did, where he teaches a broad application of the commandment. Now, this commandment, like the second one, has a penalty that goes with it in verse 7. Look at verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, while the specific penalty here is a bit ambiguous, is it an earthly penalty, God not holding them guiltless, or is it an eternal penalty? While that might be somewhat ambiguous, what is not ambiguous is that it is God himself who will enact the penalty. A good example would be Jeremiah 14, where their false prophets are the issue. And God says in Jeremiah 14, verse 16, I will pour out their evil upon them. So when it comes to taking God's name in vain, God himself is the judge, the jury, and the executioner. This is why, by the way, in the Old Testament, there began the practice of not writing or speaking God's name, for the fear of using his name in vain, whether it be inadvertently or in ignorance. It's the reason that the name Jehovah was then replaced with the name Yahweh, because again, there was a fear because of the penalty in speaking God's name in vain. Now, I want to talk about the reason for this for just a bit. Let's talk about the reason. The reason is not explicitly given here, but it certainly is implicit. Why is misusing God's name such a massive deal to God? Well, in the Bible, one's name conveys the essence of the one that bears the name. All right, I want you to think about this. You go all the way back to the book of beginnings, back to Genesis, and remember God makes Adam and then gives him the assignment to name the animals. And so he does that, and it says whatever he called them was its name. That word that's translated name literally means reputation. It was its reputation. So as Adam was naming the animals, he was naming them in a way that was consistent with their essence, consistent with their reputation. He didn't call a hippopotamus tiny. But whatever he named it in a way that described the essence of that particular animal. And this is true then throughout the Old Testament, true throughout the Scriptures, that a name was significant because the name conveyed the essence of the one who would bear that name. And so it is with the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh. It signifies His very essence. It connotates the infinite value of His attributes and glorious perfections. The essence of God is in His name. The authority of God is seen in His name. The beauty of God is seen in His name. The work of God is seen in His name. So everything that is true about who God is, everything that is true about what God does, is all seen in the name of God. And there are, of course, many names that God reveals Himself in the Old Testament, and every one of them in some way captures the essence of God. This is why the name of God is so significant, why the name of God is so very, very important. I tell you, you want to get a taste of how important the name of God is, then study the name of God in the Psalms. Just take the book of Psalms, do a search, the word name, and pick out all of the Psalms that talk about the name of God. And this is just a bit. This is no means an exhaustive list because we're limited by time this morning. But if you go to the Psalms and you see the name of God, you will see that the name of God is praised. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. As your name, O Lord, so praise reaches to the ends of the earth. So I will ever sing praises to your name. Sing the glory of his name. Give him glorious praise. Blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the poor and needy praise the name of the Lord. Oh, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. God's name is praised. God's name is loved and trusted. Those who love your name may exalt in you. Be gracious, as is your way, to those who love your name. Oh, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. For our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His name. Listen, brothers and sisters, this morning, to take the name of the Lord in vain is to take the Lord in vain. That's the point. And there could be no greater scandal than that. Now let's talk about the third word and you then. We know that one of the purposes of God's law, including His Ten Commandments, is to expose human weakness. We said this several weeks ago, we're not to see the law as a ladder by which we climb to heaven, but it's a measuring rod in which we see ourselves measured against the holy righteousness of God and we fall short. The Apostle Paul said that through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Paul says the law isn't evil, it's just that it doesn't save. It condemns. And maybe there's no commandment that exposes human weakness like the third word. Especially again, as we think about you and me as Christians carrying the name of Jesus everywhere we go and in everything we do. You now, you are a Christian, a Christian. You bear his name. And in everything you say, in everything you do, you are representing him. And we take his name in vain when we don't speak and live in a way that is consistent with his righteous name. And then when you let that sink in this morning, when you see that the commandments of the Lord are exceedingly broad, it can leave us as hopeless as what James 3:2 may leave you hopeless, where James says, "Whoever does not stumble in what he says is a perfect man." I don't know any perfect man or woman at all, do you? Of course not, other than Jesus himself. And so if there's any commandment that does the true work of God's law and expose our weakness, it's this third commandment. And that's why, as we think about the third commandment, I want to begin with this. Let's respond to this third commandment by making much of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. He provides the cleansing and forgiveness of our violations of God's righteous commands. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. The broader we take this command, the more we see our guilt. And oh, brother or sister, how today we must rejoice in and rest in and glory in our Savior who bore our guilt when he died in our place on Calvary's cross. He shed his blood in part for every violation that we would commit of this third word. He then also provides a new heart that desires God's righteous commands. And he provides the strength and ability to live his righteous commands. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will, that's your desire, and to do, that's your works, or excuse me, to work, which is your deeds, for his good pleasure. God works in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. You see, here's the reality that all of us will stand before the Maker of heaven and earth one day and give an account. And we will either give that account in Christ, in the righteousness of Christ, or we will give that account before God in our sin. And listen, there is nothing like the third commandment that would teach us that we have fallen short of God's glory. And this commandment must bring us to Christ. He's our hope. But two, let's also respond to the third word by taking careful consideration of the way we represent him in all we say and do. You and I are carrying the name of Jesus everywhere we go this week. So I wonder, what are the people around us learning about our God? What will they learn this week? The people in your neighborhood, the people you work with, those you go to school with. What are the people around us learning about our God this week in what we say, in what we do? This is the challenge of the third word. And thanks be to God that Jesus Christ is our strong tower, is our hope, and is the one who will be our help to live out this righteousness for his glory. Let's pray and thank him for that. Oh God, we thank you today for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one, Father, that brings healing to our souls. We see, God, how we have violated, how we do violate your word, your name. And so we thank you for Christ and for forgiveness that's in him. But Lord, we also now see the law not as this crushing burden on us, but a burning desire in us. We want to live righteously in this world, and so help us, God, this week to take this third word to heart. Be careful, Lord, about what we say, how we use your name, what we say in your name, and Father, what we do in your precious holy name. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.